one last question on this. Is there any merit in experimenting with Proposal B for a couple of seasons to see how it works?
No.
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Because he was at the head of the GEA at a time where Rule 42 was brought in, and not by a huge margin, needing that two thirds as well. I think it was 227-97 in the end in favour of abolishing Rule 42 effectively at the time, because he was in charge around that. And this is such an important issue, we thought it was a good time to catch up with the former GEA president, Sean Kelly, who's on the line now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thanks for taking the call. In summation here, it's, as Podge Collins said at the start of that piece, it's Plan B versus status quo. How do you see this playing out?
I think he's probably right. I can't see too many going for the first proposal, which basically banishes the weakest counties in one province into another to be further penalised for not being good enough. You could nearly sum it up that way. Whereas the second proposal, I think, is better, even though I would have preferred my own proposal, which I put a number of years ago. But that's not on the agenda, so there's no point talking too much about that now. But I would think, though, that in this instance, more cognizance, I think, would be taken of what the GPA has said, rather than the past, when relations were a bit more strained. And above all, I think officials will be more acutely aware now that it's the players who put their lives on hold to play for the county, and that has to be made more attractive than it is at the moment for the vast majority of counties. So there will be a lot of friction, especially in relation to downgrading the provincial competitions, because most of the officials would have some connection with their own provinces and so forth, and would always have valued them and their history there. And there's a lot of meaning there as well. But ultimately, I think the Croke Park officials will have to, if the first one is beaten, which I expect it will be, come out and say, listen, we've got to go for this. And above all, I think the advice of the GAP, GPA, is going to be very important in this, because to get, now at least it's only 60%. In my time, it was 2,000 majority over 66.5%. So to get that is difficult enough at any time. And the other problem is that many of the delegates will come already be mandated to vote one way or the other. And that too could create a problem.
Sean, can I, there's been a level of silence from the top tier in Croke Park. And I get the sense that maybe that's a deliberate move. I think that if they really wanted to get behind this, we would have heard from them already. So why have they stayed out of this and not done a Pádraig Duffy, for example, with the Super 8s and really pushed what they believe to be the best idea?
Yeah, I'm actually a bit surprised at that. I suppose I think this is more democratic and let it up to the counties to decide. But the difficulty with that is they might decide to do neither. I'd much prefer to say, listen to a subcommittee, go away, look at it, come up with one proposal and let's run with it and back it. But when you come up with two proposals, then you can say, back both. That's not possible. So it's just a tactic. It's what they decided to do and we have to live with it. But definitely, in my own view, I would always prefer. That's where we operated, for instance, when we introduced the Christy Arena Hierarchy Cups, the All-Ireland Junior Intermediate Championships. There was just one proposal. We sold it as best we could. We gave the arguments and then asked them to back us, which they did, thankfully. That's the way I would do it. But there's obviously a different view which prevails at the moment, which is definitely probably more democratic. It creates more discussion, maybe, at county level and at club level and with the players. But is it ultimately the best? That's a view that you would have to discuss.
Are the votes open, Sean? Are they closed votes?
They're usually open votes for this.
Yeah,
in the sense that...
Will people from the various counties know... Will I know which way Westmeath have voted?
No, not unless they're revealed, because for the physical meetings in the last number of years, every person had a little gadget which you pressed yes or no in, and then the result came up.
Yeah.
So you didn't know how a person actually voted unless
is that not a bit
being monitored by somebody.
Is it not a bit wild that?
So
is it not
no,
a bit?
And also, some I think can stay online and vote online. So again.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be clearly visible to everybody.
And look, I don't know the answer to the question, but it sounds like that people don't know which way counties have voted. And it feels a bit wild that you can be mandated, but ultimately it's sort of dependent on, and I'm sure you'll know this from your time, a delegate turns up at the county board meeting and decides to vote one way or the other, and because it's not transparent, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, and that was actually the great fear when it came to voting on Rule 42. We had a big debate whether it should be secret ballot or a show of hands at Central Council the night before the vote, and I got slated because I wanted an open vote, and I was asked, do you not trust the delegates? And obviously, of course, I said, oh, of course I trust the delegates. But actually, they decided to have a secret ballot, but in fairness, I think the delegates honoured their commitment, and I think the same would happen here. There'd be very few that wouldn't honour their mandate if they were given to it by a county, and probably to balance out one way or the other. So I don't think that would be a serious concern. It will be the way the debate will go and how they can convince the doubters who will have objections to, particularly, we're talking basically, I think, about the second motion now to give it a try. And I think that's how you get people to support you. You say you're going to give it a try for 2-3 years and then we look at it. Because if you didn't give that opportunity, a lot of people wouldn't take the leap in the gap to go away from what they're used to try something new.
We have heard during the week as well that maybe some delegates aren't even open to the possibility of a trial. Brian McAvoy told us on the show that no, he flat out rejects the idea of even this coming in on a trial basis. So, Sean, why do you think that there is this hardline view against Proposal B? What is it about Proposal B that is really turning people off, some people off?
I think mainly because the provincial championships are being somewhat downgraded, and obviously Ulster, in fairness, have the best championship. It's very important to all their counties. They give a huge commitment and they want to see that. And that's why the proposal that I put forward, I think, would have worked perfectly. Essentially, play your provincial championships as is. The two finalists qualify for the Sam Maguire. Then that's 8 counties. The next 8 counties in the National League, according to their grading, will qualify for the other 8 positions at 16. And the other 16 will play in the Tailteann Cup, which, by the way, is as important in terms of the promotion and development of the game as the Sam Maguire Cup. And that's something that's going to be vital, and that has to be promoted very, very much into the future, and especially if it has been a success, because it has potential, but the promotion of it is going to make it or break it.
One of the main things that came out from that GPA press conference yesterday was the idea that Tom Parsons spoke about wanting, you mentioned at the top about, you know, Plan A gets beaten and then the GEA are going to come out and say, well, look, at now we've got to get behind Plan B. But he was saying that there seems to be, and by all accounts it appears as if he's right, an absence of that level of communication from Croke Park in the way that Pádraig Duffy might have done around the Super 8s that was brought in, and I'm sure that you would have done around Rule 42. What are your thoughts on that? Would you like to see more coming centrally in relation to a drive for Plan B to be brought over the line here?
If it came to it, I would actually, because everybody says what we have isn't working as well as it should. So there's no point in sitting on the fence completely. When you're in a leadership position, you have to have views and you're better off to express them rather than say nothing about it. Because the alternative is basically to do nothing, essentially, and that wouldn't be wise, I think. So I think you're right. If we'll say the first motion is defeated, then I think it's important that people would say, at least spell out the consequences of not voting for the second one. I think that's the very least you'd expect, so that delegates would be aware. But, I mean, as I said, if you really wanted to push a motion, you would have one motion, you'd have conviction behind it, you'd sell it, as you said, with Pádraig Duffy, Rule 42, etc. But times change and there are different ways to look at it, and you have to accept a democratic process as well.
Well, that's really interesting what you just said there, Sean, because that's kind of why I was asking you earlier on, why are we not hearing anything from Croke Park? That it almost seems to me as if there's a chance that, not that this is a Trojan horse or anything, but that there may be something coming down the line that they think might be better, or that this isn't the right time, or that this isn't the right format, this proposal B. There's some reservation within Croke Park. It's not some sort of philosophical, we're not wading into this. It feels like something else, Sean. Like, and I wonder, does that tap into what you're saying there, that even the two proposals thing, it's kind of doomed to fail when you have a proposal A just hanging out there as well?
Yeah, I think that's true, because, you see, it dilutes the whole argument for change if you can't decide what change you want in advance. So you're really letting it in the lap of the gods to a certain extent. And that's what they're doing. That's what the committee came up with, different proposals. So we'll just have to see how it goes. Hopefully, we do see change. And I think if they said, look, if it came to it for the second motion, if the first one was beaten, they said, listen, let's do it for 2 years even. But at least it would be something that the players feel might work. And you have to take into consideration the players. I think there are good proposals there regarding home and away. I'm a great advocate of that. I think neutral venues neutralises the effect of it. I think I remember when Longford played Dublin, I was down there in Pierce Park, I'd say about 14 or 15 years ago. The atmosphere was electric. Tyrone played Kerry a number of years ago in Killarney. There was a huge buzz in the town. So I think that home and away, that's a very important point, especially for the weaker counties. And, of course, also for the peripheral counties. Because if venues, neutral venues are selected, they're not going to be basically along the coastline. They'll be more towards the centre. So I think that's another thing that needs to be looked at. And I think proposal B, I think, is that possibility as well.
Definitely. And like to go back to something else that you said about the reservations surrounding proposal B, that separation of province and championship. Like, I get that reservation, Sean, but like we spoke to Niall Morgan, we just heard from him there, and as somebody who has Ulster medals, he says that's just not true. I mean, I'm going to value my province as much as ever. So I think like there's been a good effort done to dispel that element of things. And then the other thing that we're hearing, which is leading to a lot of reservation in Ulster, is the money. And we understand that this will lead to greater windfall on a central level and on a provincial level, were this to be implemented, proposal B. Hopefully next week we actually get figures to be able to put that forward. But if you were in charge of the team running proposal B, running the campaign for this, what are you trying to push come next Monday, for example, when you have all this information? How do you change these people's minds?
Well, I think you're right. The money is going to be important, because it's not so much money, but it's what the provincial councils do with it. And they do use the money very, very well to promote the games within their counties. And there's a kind of a bond within each province, which is very important and shouldn't be diluted. And that has to continue in terms of their autonomy in making decisions for their own counties, how to develop the grounds, what games to play. And they do actually also organise a lot of competitions within the provinces, cross-county competitions and competitions for special areas and so forth. So all that has to be guaranteed to continue, because it's invaluable work. Because you just can't throw the baby with the bathwater. What they'll be worried about, of course, is the word I used a minute ago, autonomy. They won't have the same control over their competitions as they had. And that's where the argument will have to be put, to show that they are not being downgraded, that they will have more or less the same autonomy, and as you said, maybe more money. And I think they could have, because I think there's huge potential in the Tailteann Cup if it's promoted properly, played home and away, finals in Croke Park, Ireland Day, etc. And that will generate a huge amount of income. And that's what I'm more excited about than anything else, quite frankly, because I introduced the Tommy Murphy Cup years ago. It did fail because it was basically a tournament rather than the championship. But when it's the championship, that's a whole new ball game. But it's the same principle. You want to get every county aspiring to win North Ireland. And if you have the Tailteann Cup, I think every county could at least aspire to beating the 17th best county in the country, whereas they couldn't aspire to beating the top three or four who are there traditionally.
Yeah, I think everybody sort of works on the basis of worst case scenario, whereas that's most likely not the way it plays out. Sean, just before we let you away, if you were to be the Uachtaráin in a couple of weeks' time and stand up in front of delegates, if you had an opportunity to pitch Plan B to them, what would you be saying?
I tell them we're talking about this long enough. We have seen the way the championship has gone. We have seen unbelievable hammerings for counties. We have seen also, and this is an important point, we don't recognise it, a lot of players in counties where they don't seem to have any prospect of real success aren't committing to Gaelic football as much as they would otherwise. And there's a huge gain there to get players to have the same pride in Gaelic football, wearing the jersey for their county, and the same opportunity, or to feel the same opportunity of success as, for instance, in Kerry. I mean, we've lost no players in Kerry, hardly, apart from one or two to the Australian rules, which is fine. But we've lost very few players to soccer or rugby or anything like that. Why? Because they can aspire to winning All-Ireland, realistically. And that is going to be crucial. So you have to listen to the voice of the GPA in this one. And I think the GPA has also evolved over the years. Their consultative method is now better. They think out their responses in advance. And I think they articulate them better now. So all that has to be taken into consideration, because this is not about officials. This is about players. It's about the followers. It's about our games, which we have to grow against competition, which is fine. But we have the opportunity to grow it. And everything evolves. We can't keep doing the same thing, the same all over and over again, expect things to change. So I think there's a feeling out there that we need some change. This is what we have to offer at the moment. Grasp it. And then if you're not happy in a year or two's time, we can always come back and look at it again.
That's the nub of it. All right, Sean Kelly. Thanks a million.
You're most welcome. And thanks for the discussion.
Thanks a lot, Sean Kelly, former GAA president there. And we felt it was important to have him on at the couple of weeks that's in it. Another important voice that's worth listening to. And we'll have lots more to come on this debate over the next little while. And by the way, there's been lots of it up to this point as well. And you can check out all the best of it in the OTB GAA podcast stream. Just download the app, by the way. It's the far easiest, by far the easiest way to consume the best stuff. Kenny's on WhatsApp. You can definitely get the OTB Sports app and fast track your way to the best GAA content, including the GPA chairman Tom Parsons and the players from that press conference yesterday. Why the Sligo chairman is backing Proposal B. Also the Ulster secretary Brian McAvoy, who's against change. James Scahill on the next Galway manager and what's going on in the county there. Episode 22, by the way, 22 of the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. The Conor McKenna interview is up there as well. So you can tune in for that. And Fergal Logan, who's the Tyrone co-manager, who was on with Ger and Owen during the week with his reflections on what was an unbelievable year for them. All of that available, OTBG podcast stream. Download the app now and turn on your push notifications. Will O'Callaghan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you getting on?
What do you make of what Sean Kelly had to say?
Yeah, I mean, again, an interesting voice in the debate. A person who's been involved in huge reform within the GAA, given that he spearheaded things as the president when Rule 42 went away, God, nearly 20 years ago now at this stage. And I think there is a groundswell of opinion, as we've been discussing in the last few days, at least among players and among managers, for Proposal B to be adopted. But when you look at the numbers that are probably going to be required to reach 60%, it's going to be a big task to try and convince enough votes over the next 2 weeks to go their way, because I would think that many of the provincial councils will vote on block to keep the status quo. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if there's votes from central council that would go towards keeping the current structure in place too. I think at this point, Proposal A looks entirely dead in the water. It's almost a little bit confusing, and it's not the fault of the Fixtures Review Committee, who came together in 2019, who put two alternate plans together, and then the pandemic delayed things. And now here we are going to a special Congress where, in a way, there are three different options, and one sits there not having to get 60%. And it's a big ask to convince delegates to vote for you know, such a large majority in the way of either Proposal A or Proposal B, but so goes the democracy of Gaelic games. And as a result, I think there's going to have to be a lot of lobbying and a lot of clever lobbying if Proposal B is to get over the line in the end. Again, I don't entirely buy Brian McAvoy's argument about the financial concerns. I think it may financially hit the provincial councils, and they're obviously going to look to ring fence their own funding along this. But you would think with the amount of games that will be played, there's a very strong chance with increased attendances in the middle of the summer that actually the gates will probably be roughly the same as they are right now. Mm. But yeah, there definitely seems to be a feeling based on, you know, as Owen was playing the interviews earlier on from the, you know, from the players that around 80% now supported. And I think the support is quite strong, particularly among the teams who feel that they're going to be in the Tarleton Cup over the next few seasons. The only kind of sweet spot, Adrian, that kind of falls in this is I can see the top teams in the McCarthy Cup being perfectly okay with Proposal B. I can see the teams who are in, say, lower Division 3, Division 4, seeing this as a great opportunity. But some of the counties who will see themselves as maybe being middling Division 2 teams or aspirational to get out of Division 2, I wonder if they'll be convinced by the amount of places that are available in Division 2 to qualify for the All-Ireland Championship itself. That will probably be something that will be hotly debated among the delegates at, you know, county board meetings over the next couple of weeks to decide which way they're going to vote. It's not entirely going to suit everybody. And if self-interest was to kick in and you're a county who falls in that Division 2 area, you might think we'd be better with the status quo where we can definitely go for the All-Ireland, as opposed to potentially not being able to compete because we won't be in the top few spots in the second flight.
It's a good point. And I wonder if you like put yourself even in the shoes of those people in the lower reaches of Division 2. I wonder, does your season just turn a little bit where you're actually eyeing up these round-robin provincial championships at the start of the year and thinking there's a real opportunity to actually take these? So, I mean, Westmeath is a perfect example now. I mean, Leinster is just a complete car crash in terms of competitiveness at the moment, so maybe it's a bad example. But there is a sort of level there where you can be targeting that at the start of the year. But on top of that, if you're not good enough for Division 2, you're going to be eyeing up winning Division 3 the following year. And if you are good enough for Division 2, you're going to be eyeing up winning Division 2 that year. So I think there is incentive. I do think that there is a reasonable goal at the end of the day. And maybe outside Leinster, then there's an actual aspiration to maybe win a province as a like Division 2 underdog.
Can I just say, that's the nub of it for me, right? Like, the conversation about Kerry or Tyrone or Dublin or Mayo, like, they are the small minority, and it's what's good for the rest, I think, and that's the main reason to bring this thing in. Like, beating Laois this year for Westmeath made it a good year. Like, there's nobody in that Westmeath dressing room sitting down at the start of the year going, what's our realistic ambitions this year? To win Sam Maguire, do me a favour. Like, there has to be something else that's a bit more. And we've had some contacts coming in here, Declan Rahel questioning the Tarleton Cup. Proposal B does nothing for me. It makes it so Sam Maguire is the only trophy worth winning. As Endham Gindley said before, the Tarleton Cup is a loser's competition. It will get no media attention.
But can I just on that?
Yeah.
The Tarleton Cup we cannot use as a stick to beat Proposal B with. We have to remember that this is entirely separate from Proposal B. The Tarleton Cup is here. The Tarleton Cup is happening in the status quo. I'm not mistaken on that, Will, am I? Like, this is...
No, it was due to come in last year.
It
was only COVID that actually delayed it from happening. That was a reality. It would have taken place the last 2 years if it hadn't been for the pandemic.
And can I just say, at the press conference yesterday, Tom Parsons was challenged on how they are going to promote the Tarleton Cup, which is a nonsense argument about this Proposal B. It is a different thing. Yes, we should be having a debate about the Tarleton Cup, but you cannot vote against Proposal B on the back of the Tarleton Cup. The Tarleton Cup is going to be here in the status quo. And I feel that those wires have got crossed over the last couple of days. I feel that a lot of wires have got crossed over the last couple of weeks. And there is a lot of misplaced criticism of Proposal B. The criticism, when it's fair, is all great and we should be having these arguments. But there are like a couple of different, I think maybe a bit of miscommunication that's happened over the last few months, where people are still confused about what Proposal B brings and what people are actually voting for. And one of those things is the Tarleton Cup, that people have married that to Proposal B, which is just false. It is not exclusively part of Proposal B.
Yeah, and look, I've been critical in the past of the Gaelic Players Association and some of the things they get involved in. But I have to give them credit for the explainer video which they brought out on Proposal A and B yesterday, which you can get in the GPA Twitter account if you want to watch it. Because I appreciate when we do bulletins and we have chats on programmes, it is quite difficult to actually distill down Proposal A and Proposal B and make it very simple and consumable if somebody is wondering what the actual structures mean. I think you have to sit down, either watch a video like that or have a read probably before you make any kind of decision on whether you're pro Proposal A, Proposal B, or wanting to stick with the status quo. And like, crucially when it comes to the status quo, as you mentioned, Owen, about the Tailteann Cup and whatever's going to happen about the Super 8s, is that the Championship is up for reform next year anyway. So it kind of feels to an extent that if they stick with the status quo and neither Proposal A or B gets 60% of the upcoming Special Congress, there is still going to be a massive debate about the structures going into next year, yeah, when reform of the Championship for another three-year period was due to take place anyway. So these conversations might not necessarily result in the adoption of either proposal, but they could very well inform the discussions around what happens with the Championship next year.
And I wonder, Will, is that why we're not hearing anything from Croke Park? I wonder, are they just sitting on their hands for another 12 months, seeing how this, yeah, debate plays out, how the vote plays out, and then when it's up for debate next year, after seeing out the third year of the Super 8s, for example, will they then take a stand, I wonder?
Yeah, well, they'd probably argue that, look, they put a review committee and a task force in place to come up with suggestions back in 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
They have done so. They're going to put these before delegates and they will say, look, we have to stay entirely apolitical between now and then, despite the fact that, you know, the Central Council and the Provincial Councils and Central Delegates are all going to vote on these proposals. So it's not like they're entirely neutral on it. But I would imagine that they'll probably sit back, they'll probably take stock of where this goes and which of the two proposals receives the most support, and that may very well inform where they go from there. I just kind of felt from the outset, lads, that Proposal A was always intended to try and maybe keep as many people on board as they possibly could. So it kept a strong argument that the provincial councils were still getting their provincial competitions at a meaningful time of the year. They were just trying to move it enough to make it a change, but not radically change. While Proposal B, which is not all that radical, to go to effectively a round robin for the Championship, but just do it on the basis of where the National Football League positions are, seems very radical at the moment, but it's actually probably not that big a change. The GA tends to move in very small increments when it does move forward. Yeah.